Would you open your Bibles to 1 Peter, towards the end of the New Testament? 5, 8, and 9. Here's a couple verses worth memorizing with our theme today. 1 Peter, 5, 8, and 9. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like what? A roaring lion looking for someone to eat or devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kinds of sufferings. You're not alone. Amen? Let's pray. Father in heaven, again, thanks for a beautiful day. Thank you for this beautiful place that we get to call home, the Bitterroot Valley. And Lord, as we attend to your word, as we seek to follow Jesus more faithfully, we pray for spiritual eyes that see and spiritual ears that hear everything you want to say to our hearts this morning through the power of your Holy Spirit. And we pray all this in Jesus' name, saying, amen. Well, while our nation has just celebrated its semi-quincentennial, the 250th anniversary celebration, it's now technically over. We've been studying these in adult ed. The Declaration of Independence remains declarative, right? We hold these truths to be what? Self-evident, that all men are created equal and are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. Among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, President George Washington, in his farewell address, said this, and I thought this was really instructive as we think about all these things. Of all the dispositions, of all the habits that lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports. Good reminder, right, in our today's society, as if God didn't matter. That you're going to have more trouble the further out you get from the things of God. We know this to be true. A Judeo-Christian worldview was always in mind for our founding fathers. Not all of them were practicing Christians. We need to dispense with that idea. But the worldview and the morals were always Judeo-Christian at its very foundation. And so many of our founding fathers knew that life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that is tied with our God, with Jesus Christ. So isn't it ironic, though, if we think about society today, supremely so, that the freest, richest, and most powerful nation in the history of humanity is filled with so many people who find themselves in one form of slavery or another, in bondage and generally unhappy? Right? We've been given this mandate of the pursuit of happiness, but notice where it goes, especially apart from God. Right? We also know that many in our nation have dispensed with the Bible and the Constitution in the pursuit of their own happiness. Right? The Bible says you can only serve one master, right? It's either going to be the Lord or it's going to be the devil. It's going to be Satan. And so as we think about freedoms, and we talked about this in adult ed today as well, you know, there is no freedom apart from discipline. You think freedom is just free? No, it costs, and it's a privilege as well, right? You will serve one of two masters. That's how it's going to work. So this morning, I want to remind you through a little bit of alliteration for memory purposes of some of the key schemes that Satan employs to try and outwit us as Christians. You can add others to the list, but I want to talk about the 5 D's of the devil, right? I've talked about some of these in the past. Some of these are new. All of them are important. And those 5 D's include what? Doubt, distraction, discouragement, division, and destruction. And we could add to those or subtract, but that's probably enough for today. You could add dissipation, distortion, death, right? Peter reminds us we are not to be outwitted. So let's start with number one, doubt, right? The powerful Christian author C.S. Lewis famously said that most Christians live in one of two extremes. Either they give too little consideration to the fact and they practically doubt that there is a devil who seeks to oppose everything, including faith, hope, and love, or they have an undue and unhealthy interest in the demonic and they think the devil is hiding behind every rock, tree, and corner. Have you noticed this? These are the two extremes. And there are some people today who think that the notion of Satan is woefully outdated, right? But if you know, there are people, there are many people in our country today who will say, yeah, there's a God, but they don't say that there's a corollary Satan, not equal, right? But you know, with all the crazy stuff that happens in the world, if there's only a God and there's no devil, you would have to start questioning the goodness of God, wouldn't you? Right? You know, how can God allow fill in the blank? Well, because he gave you and I free will, right? If there was really a God, he would feed all the hungry people in the world. Well, what are you doing? What are we doing as a church? He gave us this ability, right? So has it ever, you know, how often does it enter into your mind that Satan is on the prowl? He's the Bible calls him a prowling lion. You ever gone wilderness hiking? You're like, I don't know. Yeah, if, you know, the hair on the back of your neck, you're just like, that happens out here especially. Jesus' own chief apostle said this, again, 1 Peter 5:8-9. Be alert and sober-minded. Your enemy prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking to someone to devour, to consume, to eat. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world are experiencing the same sorts of things. We are not unique. I know we're Americans. I know America, I can, but you know, we are part of the worldwide family of Jesus Christ. Amen. This is good news. It's fun to go to other parts of the world and find Christians. And you're like, oh, Jesus? Yeah, you too? Uh-huh. Yeah. And they've got things to teach us as well. This is awesome. Right? So the Bible makes very clear that the evil one is very real. He actively opposes the kingdom of God and the people of God in this world. He's known by many names. At some point, that might be a sermon. I thought it'd be a series, but that would be tedious, right? The names of the devil. It's like, ugh, all right. One and done on that one. You know, all kinds of names. Satan, which means the accuser. You know, they're always accusing you. You know that one? The devil, which actually means the scatterer. He scatters in your life. Sound familiar? Lucifer, the angel of light, masquerading as such. The enemy, Beelzebub, others. I mean, if you think about the evil one, this guy has more fake IDs than a character from a James Bond movie. It's a double agent plus, right? I think many Christians, and sometimes we're guilty of this, sometimes we're functionally agnostics about the devil, right? It's just like, yeah, I guess he's out there or whatever. Meanwhile, he's tearing up your family and your kids and all that kind of stuff, right? Functionally agnostics. You know, and you ever notice that the devil is fine with that? You don't believe in the devil? He's happy. Well, what do you mean? Because then you're not ever blaming him. You're blaming God, or you're blaming your spouse, or your rotten, incorrigible kids. You know those kids, right? Instead of praying for them and trusting God to do something, right? He prefers it. That way we can blame and attack one another instead of standing firm in our shared faith, right? So many people, it's like they're attacking one another. It's like, wait a minute, I thought we're part of the same family. Relax. Right? To doubt the existence of the devil is dangerous, because if we doubt the existence of the devil, we will doubt the goodness of God, won't we? Right? If there's no enemy, then it's all God's fault. That's a natural line of reasoning. So the first D of the devil is doubt. The second is distraction, and we are pros at this in America. We are the world's best at distraction, no doubt, right? In light of our recent quincentennial, never before has a people group or a nation had more distractions in their lives than we as Americans, right? And our fellow brothers and sisters around the world as Christians, they know it. They just watch us and they're like, why? These people are, why they're always running around, you know? When will they stop? When we've done missions work in Uganda, East Africa, you know what they call white people? They call us Mzungu, Wazungu. You know what Wazungu means in Lugandan? It means white people who run around. Whenever the white people show up, they're running around. Just doing stuff. Why, we don't know. You know, it's just like, huh, yeah, it's kind of what we do, especially as Americans. You thought the British ran around during the colonial days? The Americans are even worse, right? We live in a fast-paced world. Things vie for our attention. But just notice in your own lifetime how many things have changed, right? Take, for example, the grocery store. Remember the grocery store of your youth? When I grew up, if I saw a mango, I wouldn't have known what that thing is. What is this strange thing? You know, because back then we didn't have a lot of Mexican immigration. Well, the world has changed now, right? We got mangoes and other fruits, and those are awesome. I love them. But I wouldn't have known what that was when I was a kid, right? Grocery stores, selections, supersized fast food. Anybody remember the documentary from like 15, 20 years ago, Super Size Me? That is troubling and hilarious. If you've never seen it, see that documentary. That guy has since passed, but it's a fascinating one where he decided he would eat at McDonald's for 30 days straight. Very bad idea, by the way, especially if you're over 30, right? If you're over 30, you have no business eating at McDonald's much, right? As Bill Burr, the comedian, says, McDonald's is only for two classes of people. It's for children to get the grease and the one, and you're on a long road trip and eat this burger and they fall asleep, you know, that's awesome. And for drunk people. That's what McDonald's, if you're over 30, it's for children and drunk people. But anyway, I digress as usual. This guy created this documentary. In 30 days, he would eat all three meals a day at McDonald's. What a health disaster that was, right? Within 4 days, he was vomiting in the parking lot. He had a Russian doctor who said, "You are so stupid. You are an idiot. You should not eat this food." I mean, it just, you know. And what was even funnier was he had a vegan girlfriend who is a vegan chef. She's always flipping out about eating at McDonald's. By the time he was done, he had gained amazing amounts of weight. It took 9 months for him to get his health back, and his vegan girlfriend was like cooking him like sprouts and I don't know, all this stuff. And every day for 9 months until his cholesterol and everything went back into shape. That's Americans for you. Mara, I can, even if you shouldn't, right? Freedom's not always free is part of the point, but we are distracted. Devil loves distractions, you know, in this world. He loves, it's a scheme to outwit us. You know, here's the thing, I'm just so distracted. Well, actually, that's a serious spiritual thing, because to be distracted literally means, from the Latin, to be pulled apart from your joints. You ever see anybody in traction in the hospital? You know, that's a serious thing. They were distracted, now they're trying to track them back into health, right? You ever hear of medieval drawing and quartering? That's the ultimate distraction. That's horrible. Yeah, it's horrible. What about in your own spiritual life? I'm just so distracted. Yeah, maybe you want to look into that and pray about that, right? That's dissipation, right? Again, one of the evil one's name is the devil, Diablos. He scatters your life around. So you've got all your good stuff is just spread out and you can't really do anything significant or important or spiritually significant, right? That's one of his key things. He loves to distract. Remember the story in Luke 10, 38 through 42? Mary and Martha? Here's your classic story, right? Mary and Martha. Mary's sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening. She's really in it. Martha's getting mad, right? Because Martha's like trying to like feed the disciples and be a good hostess. I mean, I think sometimes we look at that story and say, well, you know, Martha's, you know, she's just, you know, doing stuff and she's not as good as Mary. It's like, no, she was doing good stuff. She just got distracted, right? Jesus said, there's one thing that really matters. It's sitting at my feet, listening to my words, right? And that won't be taken from Mary. But, you know, sometimes I think we think of Martha. Have you ever, you know, in the past, you ever watch Martha Stewart? Is it just me or do you always walk away feeling bad, like inadequate? Like, I can't toss a salad like Martha or, arrange flowers or drink wine with Snoop Dogg. That's the recent thing. It's like, how did that happen? But anyway, t- times change and all that stuff. Here's the thing. It's easy for us as Americans to forget our focus, right? Sitting at the feet of Jesus every day. I mean, if I could preach one thing, it would be practicing the presence of God, Brother Lawrence style. Have you sat at Jesus' feet today? No, I got distracted. I know. How about go back to, well, I'm so busy. Find that time and protect it like Fort Knox gold, right? If that's the one thing I could preach, it would be that, right? We've got our story of Mary and Martha here, right? The point was Martha just kind of forgot her focus. Can we identify with that? I think so, right? Jesus said only one thing is necessary. Turn off the news feed, people. I just got to know more. You know, why? You know, I mean, there's nothing you can do about the other side of the planet, right? This happened here. There's a tsunami in Kamchatka, and it's heading towards Hawaii. Okay, pray and be okay into your hands, Lord. But I mean, we don't control any of that, right? But be careful. Jesus said the eye gate is important. What you bring in and what you listen to come into here, right? So be mindful of that. As Americans, we just consume. And it's like, you ever feel, after you watch the news or like 30 minutes of reels, you're like, ooh, I don't feel so good. Because you just poured it on and you didn't, you end up intellectually and spiritually constipated. Can I say that in church? Moving on. Okay. Number three. Discouragement. You know, we live in a society where there's high levels of discouragement, right? This is why the words from Joshua 1:9 in the Old Testament, so important. What did God say to Joshua? How do you fill Moses' shoes? You don't, right? And what did God say to Joshua? He said, be strong and courageous, right? This was our pandemic verse, if you remember. Remember this? I talked about this a lot. Be strong and courageous, right? It's easy for us as human beings to become discouraged, right? God's word says, be strong and courageous. Don't be terrified or discouraged. But the reality is in this fallen world, we can lose heart, right? We do, sometimes often, right? You know I'm a word nerd. Discouraged from the French. It actually means to be disheartened, cooler. To be disheartened, in its extreme definition, to be discouraged is to have your heart ripped out of your chest. You know what that's like, right? All of us have experienced that in this world. So discouragement is, I'm just a little sad. No, sometimes your heart just gets ripped out in this fallen world. What do we do with discouragement? Webster's dictionary says this, discouragement is that which destroys or abates courage, that which depresses confidence or hope, which deters or tends to deter us from an undertaking. We get, I just don't know if I can follow this thing through. So we get paralyzed, right? Daniel Webster, he would write these definitions all day and then he would be exhausted. And you know where he would go every night in Boston? The Union Oyster Company. And he would go and have like three tumblers of brandy at the bar every single night because he's dealing with discouragement and he's writing a dictionary. It's like, I think you need to talk to the pastor or somebody, you know, or the priest or whatever. Discouragement can be, mild. It can be clinical. In some extreme cases, it can lead to suicide, right? We've experienced that. Ooh, right? That's a hard one. The problem with suicide is, among many things, is that it comes to a point in a person's life where they believe they're in such a deep hole that they can't get out, that no one can help them, not even God. Do you see that as a problem from the devil, right? And I'm not criticizing anyone who has ever attempted or has committed suicide. The problem with suicide is that it rips people's hearts out, doesn't it? And to have healing from that, there's never total healing in this life. There's always a bit of a hole, right? Because that's the ultimate form of discouragement, you could say. You know, even divorce is a form of that, right? There's a hole. But suicide is something that is even more devastating, because it's the end of a story that won't continue on, right? So that's the ultimate form of discouragement, you could say, right? All kinds of cases of discouragement. We see that with our seniors that are homebound, you know, lonely, right? Have you ever thought about praying or sending a note to a senior, or maybe bringing by a snack? Just encourage their hearts, right? They just can't get out anymore or have health issues. Sudden losses of job, uncertainty of the future, not only cause people to be discouraged, but can make them feel heartbroken, right? We get to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Isn't this good? In simple ways, it doesn't have to be a big thing, right? We are prone to discouragement, to the loss of heart. But let me encourage you today, right? Give you heart. You know, when someone's discouraged, you can lend them your heart. You can be the hands and feet of Jesus. This is so practical. Again, God's word reminds us, Joshua 1:9, "Have I not the Lord commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Don't be terrified. Don't be discouraged." Why? Because the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God is with you? Even though you can't see, hear, whatever, is God with you? You bet, right? That's a promise. He is with you, right? As the followers of Jesus, we said this throughout the pandemic, we choose faith over fear, right? Fear is the, it's the great scattering of Satan. What's fear mean again, Wayne? I'm putting you on the spot. I didn't even ask him this. It wasn't even fair. Facts? Evidently appearing as real. False evidence appearing to be real. That's fear. Remember that one. False evidence appearing to be real. If that's not from the devil, I don't know what is, right? Here's the thing. When you have crisis in your life, it's also crisis in the Bible, and in Greek, actually means decision time. It's time to make a decision. And part of that will be faith over fear. I'm trusting God in this. It's fight time, not flight time. Amen? Right? Some of you need that in your life right now. We are being sanctified. You know, James, we're going to do this in the adult ed, but James starts off, that's crazy. Who talks like this? You know, consider it joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. What? Rejoice? Why? Because it's strengthening you. It's making you stronger, more resilient. You wonder, you know, people that are not tested in this world, they never grow up. They start crying for the proverbial safe space. No. We live in a world. This is fight time, not flight time. And this is why we're together, right? Encouraging one another, right? We have the opportunity to break down spiritual strongholds in Jesus' names. All right. Fourth one, division, right? Division, Satan loves to sow disunity and division into our lives, as well as into the churches of Jesus Christ, right? Have you ever noticed some churches, it's like they're the exact opposite of unity? They're supposed to be unified and encourage and helping each other. But we can see any of this in our society. What brings division? Well, politics, protests, racism, riot, current anti-Semitism. I never thought I'd see that again. I thought we learned the lesson from World War II, right? ICE, no ICE, et cetera, pick your poison. The devil has been doing this stuff since day one, right? We always act surprised. Why? I'm amused, you've heard me say this before, how many Christians will say this dumb, we say dumb stuff. I write it down because it's going to be a future sermon. Things, dumb things that Christians say, including me. You know, we need to be, I wish we could be a New Testament church. Really? Yeah, because things were so good back in the day, right? The golden years, it's like, the good old days. Well, most of the time they were neither good nor that old, right? It's like, You know, which church of the New Testament do you want to be? There's some that are better than others, right? Some churches were incredibly divided, right? Have you ever noticed how many times, do you know why Paul wrote all his letters in the New Testament? He was writing about problems. The more problems, the longer the letter was. The Philippians was four short, it's called the letter of friendship, and I just love you guys, and you're awesome, and try and keep the unity, and you know, these ladies are fighting over here, try and fix that, whatever. Nothing new there. Have you ever noticed the Corinthian correspondence? Two letters, huge, right? We need to be a New Testament church, really? Have you read 1 Corinthians? Christians sleeping with step parents, suing the pants off each other, and getting hammered during communion. The Corinthian church was a migraine throbbing headache for the Apostle Paul, right? Can you imagine being a leader or a pastor in that divided and disunified church? No thanks. I'll take Mosaic for $1,000, Alex. Praise God, I don't have to deal with that. There's always something, but you know, Matthew 12:25, every kingdom divided against itself will be ruined. Every city or household divided against itself will not stand, Jesus said. That's why we're really serious about the vision and values of Mosaic Church here, because a house divided cannot stand, right? We're really serious about this. You know, part of the thing too is we're called to grace. It's okay, just like your physical families of origins, churches are like this too. You know, sometimes people need extra grace, right? Sometimes pastor talk about EGR people in their churches. Like, what's an EGR person? Extra grace required, you know those people. Not like you or me, but you know those people. Here we go. But yeah, giving people extra grace, being sensitive even when we disagree with them. Oh, right? We don't have to go to knives? No. The devil loves to divide. That's the whole point. So let us not be unaware and outwitted by his schemes. All right, finally, number five, destruction. That's what I want to talk about. The fifth D is destruction. It's the logical outcome of a life buried in or immured in doubt, distraction, discouragement, and division. Natural outcome, right? Again, encourage you, 1 Peter 5:8, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like what? A roaring lion seeking someone to devour, right? His ultimate goal is the destruction of people in this world. That's why we don't have the luxury as Christians to be spiritually naive. Remember, Jesus said you should be as shrewd as a serpent or a viper, a snake, and as innocent as a dove. I think a lot of Christians sort of get the innocent as a dove, but have you ever noticed a lot of Christians are just dumb? It's okay to be dumb. You can learn stuff, but if you're immured in dumbness and don't want to change, then you're just stupid. And that's not really good. This would get me fired from other churches, but it's true. You need to be shrewd as a snake in this world. It's like, you ever notice Jesus? They're always out to get Jesus and he always flips the table, and I don't just mean, you know, in the movie or something in Palm Sunday. You ever notice Jesus ask questions? I was like, oh my gosh, this works, right? They'll try and trap you and you say, well, what do you mean by that? What are you saying? You just keep asking questions, and if they're out to get you, pretty soon they'll lose their ever-loving mind, and it's awesome because I'm a child. Like, why are you so angry now? Why are you trying to divide the Church of Jesus Christ? And then they kind of walk out the door, and you're like, praise God. Anyway, I'm almost done. Where are we? Destruction, right? This is not the hour to be a spiritual Lone Ranger. Remember the old Lone Rangers? At least, even the Lone Ranger had Tonto, right? He wasn't even really alone back in the day. But so many Christians in the Bitterroot Valley, you know, it's like only 15% of people who name Jesus Christ in this valley go to church at all. It's like, are you insane, right? Don't you know the devil lurks around like a prowling lion? Right? If I told you, and I've lived in some of these places, if I said to you, be careful on the way out, you know, I've heard there's a sniper on top of one of the buildings in town here. Some of you would be like, I'm out that door. And that's okay, right? But I mean, do we have this situational awareness? I had to have it in the big cities for sure. But out here, it's like, eh, it's all pretty good, you know, because everybody's packing, right? But that's another thing, which I love. Anyway, where am I again? I'm distracting myself, right? So the church is, the Christian community is a place of encouragement. It's a school of sanctification. It is a protection against the destruction of Satan. I mean, again, honestly, if you went wilderness hike, I don't know about you, if I'm like out in the wilderness, I always pack a sidearm. I always do. No apologies there. You know, we have grizzly bears now too. They've documented them. Notice the government, no, there's no grizzly bears, until some guy ran into one. Like, holy smokes, you know? News you can use, right? If you thought a place was crawling with lions, you'd probably go in a group with some protection. I get this from time to time, all my friends back out east, yeah. They're like, they complain. They say, Jim, you've gone native. What does that mean? You've gone native. It's like, there is no good reason to ever own a gun. It's like, only one in Montana? You got to own more than one. That's kind of silly. I just laugh at them as silly. And I say, you know, there are several good reasons for carrying in Montana, right? Angry mama mooses, those are the worst, right? You make a mama mad and she will shred you. You already know this from your families, by the way. Wolves, grizzly bears, we got them again. Oh, praise God, you know. You ever go down to Mr. T's Mercantile, all the big wolves they got hanging on the wall there? My dad used to love that. Let's go to Mr. T's and see the wolves, you know. It's like, okay, you know. Down in Darby, man, I've seen bumper stickers that proclaim smoke a pack a day. And they weren't talking about Marlboros, they were talking about wolves. I'm like, we're out of Hamilton already, just a short distance, right? Mountain lions? What? Right? You know, whenever I have friends out east, they're like, yeah, I'd like to go hiking. I'm like, lock and load. How far do you want to go? Right? All of a sudden, they stop complaining about guns. Yeah, maybe you should carry a gun. Really? You don't say. Okay, I'm almost done here. Peter says, right, Satan is like a roaring lion seeking to devour and destroy. Jesus says in John 10:10, what does he say about the devil? The devil is a thief and a liar, right? Who only seeks to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come to give you life, and not just life, but life abundantly, right? All right, I know this message has been kind of serious, so I just felt led to share it, and next week I'm going to back it up again. I've talked about this before, but there's another chain I want to talk about, and we're going to be talking about Star Wars and Yoda, because Yoda was really smart. Everybody, yeah, you know. More on that next week, but let me end with a little levity, kind of like the time. When a little boy was waiting for his mother to come out of the grocery store, and as he waited, he was approached by a stranger who said, "Son, I'm new to town. Can you tell me where the post office is?" Little boy said, "Sure, mister. You go down here two, three blocks, then you take a right, and you'll see it right there." The man thanked the little boy kindly and said, "I'm the new pastor in town. I'd like you to come to church on Sunday. I'll tell you how to steer clear of the devil and how to get to heaven when you die." The little boy began to laugh hysterically and said to the new pastor, "You're BSing me, right? Pastor, you don't even know how to get to the post office. And tell me about..." Yeah. Well, you know, last month, it was 13 years since Deb and I have been in the Bitterroot Valley. Hard to believe. And, you know, I know how to get to the Hamilton and Corvallis post offices all by myself. Thank you very much now. Yes. Hashtag goals. Right? I do want to remind you today as Christians to be aware of the five D's of the devil. Be aware of doubt, distraction, discouragement, division, and destruction. Why? So that you may be more aware of Satan's schemes, so that you may not be outwitted by him. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thanks for today. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you for your mercies. As your word says, they are new every morning. Lord, we just thank you for helping us destroy the mortgage and have freedom. We thank you for the freedoms we enjoy as Americans that are enshrined in our Constitution. We thank you for the ability and the calling to be the hands and feet of Jesus to a lost and hurting and needy world. Lord, we would not be outwitted by Satan, who is a prowling lion, but rather we would be aware and on the hunt for him instead. And so, Lord, we just thank you for all this and more. In Jesus' name, praying. Amen. Amen.